Benjamin Norton Bugbee, Sacramento Champaign King, written and spoken by Kevin Canals. Introduction. Who was Benjamin Norton Bugbee? You can be forgiven if you have lived most of your life in Sacramento and never heard of Mr. B.N. Bugbee. There are no parks, imposing buildings, or major thoroughfares named after him. But beginning in the 1850s, the name B.N. Bugbee would have been familiar to many of the residents of Sacramento City and surrounding towns. He was the constable of Granite Township, which included Folsom City. He was the sheriff of Sacramento County, and later in life, county tax collector. He was the first person to grow raisins in a large-scale operation. He had acres of vineyards that allowed him to produce wine, brandy, and champagne, which he sold across the country. His name has become a mere footnote in Sacramento history, in spite of his numerous accomplishments and personal failings. He fully embraced the wide-open expanse and opportunities that California offered. He also witnessed the radical transformation of the western frontier from a Wild West territory to, in his opinion, a state controlled by large corporations and monopolies that he abhorred as enslaving the common man. He battled those forces in a lawsuit that was appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, where he was vindicated. He sparred with Hiram Johnson over technical aspects of state and county law and prevailed. He developed modest wealth as a businessman, only to see his enterprise crumble before his eyes. He oversaw and assisted in the execution of men for murder. His perspective colored by the events surrounding the Civil War, the human condition, guilt, innocence, and freedom weighed heavily on his mind. He railed against party politics and political machines, only to leverage the same system to gain an elected position. He was a writer and a speaker. He was a friend or an acquaintance of virtually all the major business and political figures who emerged during California's infancy. He did not go out of his way to vilify any man, but was the object of others' derision. He lived a long life and had a quiet death. Bugbee's life was extraordinary in many ways. His life story is also similar to those of other California pioneers of the 19th century. He is worthy to be remembered and studied not only from the perspective of the economic and political times he lived in and how that shaped and changed his belief system, but also for the similarities and challenges all people face in the 21st century. While Bugbee was keenly interested in state and national politics, he kept his focus on the Sacramento region. He thought in a national perspective, but acted locally to further his notions of equality and freedom. He came to California in 1849 seeking gold, lived in Folsom, and died in Sacramento. Bugbee was a man of the second half of the 19th century, brought to California, as so many were, by the prospect of gold. He quickly realized that gold mining was short-lived and not an occupation that would create a stable income. He turned his attention to opportunities in agriculture and commerce that were developing with the steady increase of population of California. In spite of the many successes Bugbee enjoyed, he also had his share of the sorts of tragedies that befell many early pioneers in California. He lost his wife in a riding accident at Mormon Island. He lost his homes, possessions, and business to fire. He lost elections, and he lost his land. At one point, he would confess, he lost his mind. Bitterness at these losses never seemed to permanently overtake Bugbee. He persevered in life. With the optimism and grit that imbued so many men and women who trekked to California, he found or made other opportunities. As a constable and sheriff, Bugbee saw plenty of despair, murders, and suicides among his fellow community members. Bugbee was a man who dropped between the cracks of history for various reasons. His vineyard was in El Dorado County. He had a home in Folsom, but spent most of his time in Sacramento on business. Consequently, he never played a prominent role in any one region. He was a minor character in the development of each of the regions and the state. His legacy was also lost to fire, bankruptcy, and eventually Folsom Lake. He was a pioneer in the literal and figurative sense of the word and context. He was a vigorous promoter of all that he believed in, from politics, business, agriculture, and most importantly, himself. What is the attraction to be in Bugby? For better or worse, I can identify and empathize with many of Bugby's personality traits, such as his sense for adventure, his optimism, and the adversities he faced. His life mirrors the challenges many men face, from career, marriage, business, insecurities, and the way in which one's worldview changes with experience and age. He had a desire to be successful and gain recognition. He did some dumb things he later regretted. He lost people very close to him. He had periodic epiphanies about life, getting sober, etc. His worldview matured as the events of the nation, Civil War, and his most consuming personal challenges, fighting corporations, shaped his life. He did not become bitter. He sought a better way. He was a Douglas Democrat who could embrace the notion of turning a blind eye to slavery as long as it was not expanded. But he became a Union man during the Civil War. Political identity was important to Bugby. He was a reader, learner, studier. He reflected on the Emancipation Proclamation as it related not only to Black Americans, but Chinese immigrants as well. And then, by logical extension, if all men were created equal and women were among God's creatures, should they not have equality and the right to vote as well? He shared some of the common struggles of the Chinese in California. He was denigrated and ostracized because of his previous political party and votes. He was sneered at for hiring Chinese workers. While the injury to Bugby was not as great as what the Chinese suffered, he could nonetheless commiserate with them, as those in power had worked to derail some of his political ambitions. The personal and political wounds were deepened by the fact that some of those who attacked him were also his fellow sojourners on the trip from the East Coast to California. The powerful were too powerful. He became a radical, expressing support for nationalizing railroads, telegraphs, and women's suffrage. He hated political bosses. He ran for elected office in 1898 at the age of 71, and won. He only stopped pushing the political ball up the hill when the weight of taking care of his ailing wife and his own infirmities forced him to accept the inevitable of living a quieter life. I stumbled across Bugby when doing research about land ownership under the footprint of Folsom Lake. As I reviewed an 1866 government land office map, I noticed not one home attributed to B.N. Bugby, but two homes. Who was this man that could afford two homes overlooking the South Fork of the American River, surrounded by acres of vineyards? A quick search on the California Digital Newspaper Collection website listed hundreds of entries for Bugby, beginning in 1853 and ending in 1914. The more I dug into Bugby's history, the more I was amazed by this California pioneer. Not only was his life story interesting to me, he was an interesting man. He never started a railroad, but he knew the men who did. While lasting personal fortune eluded him, he did commission two pieces of music, built a large winery, oversaw the execution of murderers as sheriff, tried to kill the Granite Township constable, was a U.S. commissioner, helped Chinese women escape bondage, and forever split the elected position of tax collector from sheriff in Sacramento County.